This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Now that the thrills of the postseason are behind us, baseball fans might actually have a chance to get back to the books stacking up by the bedside table. And if you're not a baseball fan and you've been reading your way through the playoffs and World Series, you might finally have your fellow bibliophiles to talk books with yet again. Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to spend the hour talking about books, authors, and our favorite recent reads. Listeners, please add your voice to the chorus on the Vermont Edition Facebook page or call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. And we're joined today by Claire Benedict, co-owner of Bear Pond Books in Montpelier, and Linda Ramsdell, owner of the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick. Such a pleasure to have both of you back on the show.
Thanks, Jane.
It's really fun to be here with both of you again. Thanks.
Let's dive right in and talk books. Claire, just pick one of your recent favorites and give us some exciting tidbits about it.
Okay. A novel I read recently that I absolutely love is called A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki. And it's about a 16-year-old Japanese girl in Tokyo writing the story of her feminist, anarchist, 104-year-old Zen Buddhist nun grandmother. And she then takes this story, wraps it up in a Hello Kitty lunchbox and sends it into the sea for someone to find. Her reader, she knows her reader is out there. And it's just this amazing story of time and space and of so much happening. So original. And it's found by a woman in British Columbia on a remote island, and she's reading it. So you get both their stories, and it's really an amazing book. Hard to describe even, but
yeah,
very unique.
And the woman who finds it, you get to hear her whole story as well.
You hear her story too, and her reaction to this young girl and her story.
Huh.
Very interesting.
And the name again is
A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki.
Ooh, sounds great. Linda, have you read that?
I haven't. It does sound really great. I want to run back to the store and get it now.
Wait an hour, please.
Okay.
Linda, what about you? A recent favorite?
Well, since Claire mentioned British Columbia, we'll just move a little bit south to Washington State in the 1930s. A book I read recently that I just love, and I think it's going to be really a great gift for a lot of different kinds of readers at the holidays, is The Boys in the Boat, Nine Americans and Their Epic Quest for Gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And it's by Daniel James Brown, and it's the story of a crew at the University of Washington and their quest to win the Olympics in 1936. And it's the kind of book that even though you know the outcome, or, you know, if you skip ahead and look at some of the pictures, you know the outcome, the author manages to keep the suspense and tension all through the book. It's really fabulous. And it mixes a lot of different elements. History, a history of the time, that period in history, the Berlin Olympics. It's touches on issues of class, you know, sort of a West versus East. And this one of the rowers that the story focuses on had a really hard life and upbringing, and sort of his quest to survive and reach athletic excellence. So there are a lot of different elements in the book, and it's fabulously well written, and it does have pictures. So,
and this is nonfiction.
It's
obviously
nonfiction. I think it'll appeal for a lot of the same reasons that Unbroken appealed to readers, which is still selling well even years after its publication. And
that's a Laura Hillenbrand book,
exactly. Yep.
And probably good for people to get in the mood for the Olympics, even though it's Summer Olympics.
Right.
It's, you know, still going to give you that Olympic spirit.
Yeah, it sure does.
That's The Boys in the Boat?
The Boys in the Boat.
Listeners, we are talking about books. If you've got recommendations, you can call 1-800-639-2211. Blanche is on the line with us from Corinth. Hey, Blanche, go ahead.
Well, what I want to recommend is a great, a tragic read is reading Solomon Northrup's 12 Years as a Slave. I've read it before I watched the film, and my hunch is that it tells you more about this man and the people he's dealing with in the book. A word of caution, I found that I could only cope with two chapters at a time. I was able to get it with no problem at all on my Kindle, and it's an amazing story.
Blanche, thanks very much for that recommendation. 12 Years a Slave, obviously getting some big buzz right now as a film, but Blanche is really recommending the book and maybe more in depth. I haven't read that or seen the film. Have either of you? Is that something that's selling in the bookstore now that the movie's out?
It is selling, yes. There's a lot of new interest in it.
Yeah, I'm interested in it too, but I haven't read it.
Well, Blanche, thanks for that recommendation. Nichol's on the line from Guilford. Hi, Nichol. Go ahead.
Hi. I want to recommend two books, one of which is one that just came out recently, which is Nicholson Baker, who's one of my favorite writers, has a new novel out called Traveling Sprinkler. I have to admit that Baker may be a little idiosyncratic for some people, but I just love his new book. This is basically a sort of a sequel to an earlier book, The Anthologist, but I think it's a wonderful book. Another one, which is coming out, actually probably won't be out after the first of the year, there's the historical New Testament scholar Bart Ehrman. He has a book which is coming out, which is called How Jesus Became God, which is a book that I'm really looking forward to reading, but like I said, that won't be out after the first of the year.
Well, good. You've got one that you've read and loved and one that you're anticipating. Thanks for that, Nichol. We got a note from the Moortown Library who tweeted us to say, Louise Penny's Chief Inspector Gamache novels are popular in Moortown, and that's definitely on my list. I love the series with Inspector Gamache, and the previous book before this new one is called How the Light Gets In, and the previous book, A Beautiful Mystery, really ended on a cliffhanger, especially for fans of Inspector Gamache and the people who work with him. And so we've all been waiting and waiting for this new book to come out, and it definitely doesn't disappoint. You get all the characters from Three Pines again. Yeah. You get some of the inner workings of the homicide division and the sort of intricacies and politics of the cop shop in Montreal. I do think it wraps up a little neatly at the end, but boy, what a book. I loved reading that.
That was maybe somewhat of an antidote after the way the last one wrapped up. Maybe
yes.
This one is just to give us, we can sleep for a year without wondering what happened.
Right. And it's a good read for this time of year because a lot of it takes place right before Christmas. So yeah. It sort of gets you in the mood for winter. So that's definitely on my list. How the Light Gets In, the latest from Louise Penny. Listeners, if you have thoughts, you can share yours with us at vpr.net/Vermont Edition. Or on the phone, 1-800-639-2211. We got a note from Lund who says, One Summer by Bill Bryson is fantastic. A really interesting read about Charles Lindbergh, Babe Ruth, and the bankers who may or may not have planned the Wall Street crash of 1929. A very engaging read and revelatory of things you thought you knew but never did. And this is a book that it's all the one summer that Bill Bryson is writing about is actually 1927.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I guess his argument is that it was a really pivotal time. There was so much going on culturally and politically in the country, and it was really pivotal for years to come.
Have you read that one, Claire?
I have not yet. It's
but
brand new.
I think both of you have it on your list of things that are selling at the bookstores. Linda, it's definitely selling.
Yeah, selling, and one that has been highly anticipated, and I think it'll sell well through the holidays.
People always love a Bill Bryson.
Yeah.
Book.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about in terms of selling through the holidays? I mean, I mentioned at the very top of the show that traditionally this has been sort of the fall season, the publishing season. The catalogs come out, the books come out. They're all here before the holidays. But a lot of what I've been reading in the publishing industry as well is that's sort of changed. You know, books can kind of come out at any time. With ebooks, they can come out any time. I mean, the original reason that there may have been a season was because the barges had to get the books over at a certain time. Are you still seeing a book buying season or a fall publishing season?
I feel like there still is one. There's still, I mean, just the books that are coming out. There's some really highly anticipated books that are just coming out in the beginning of November, and I think it is starting to become sort of a hybrid that big books do come out all the time, but I still think people sort of save their biggest punches till this time of year. There's some, you know, there's a new Amy Tan book that's coming out. She hasn't had a book for years. There's a lot of really highly anticipated books that are coming out in the next couple weeks, really, and it's still an exciting time, I think, and it's nice to, I think, in the same way that we like Vermont because we have seasons, I think there's still something about book seasons that holds up.
Claire, you're nodding your head. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely the big name authors they save for the fall, for the most part.
Why? Is that because they want to generate a buzz or because people buy more books around the holidays? I mean, what? Why save the big names for now?
People buy more books for the holidays, gift giving, and I think that's the history of it.
There also seems like if you're just releasing books all the time, it might be easier for some of those lesser named authors to just get a little bit lost. And mm-hmm. at least if you're having your whole catalog come out in the fall, you're getting it into the hands of the book buyers. You're sort of generating a little bit of buzz just by having that catalog that you might not if you were just releasing, you know, book A and book B in June and July.
Yeah, I think that still is true.
Let's go back to the calls. Tracy's calling in from Jericho. Hi, Tracy. Go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to recommend Beyond the Beautiful Forevers by Catherine Boo. It's a beautiful book. It's actually nonfiction, but it reads like fiction, which is fascinating. And it centers on mostly young people living in a slum in Mumbai and how they manage and the dramas of their life. And the coolest thing about it is Catherine Boo embedded herself, and every line in the book, even though it reads like a novel, is actually based on her research or discussions or hanging out in this area, and it's a wonderful book.
Tracy, thanks very much for that recommendation. That book got a lot of buzz. I think it was this summer. Mm-hmm. She made the rounds of all of the public radio shows. I was hearing her everywhere because it does sound like a fascinating read.
Yeah, and she won some big awards, too.
We got a note from Steve who says, a young woman picks up a book left behind by a stranger. Inside it are his margin notes, which reveal a reader entranced by the story and its mysterious author. I just picked up S at the post office after pre-ordering it a few days ago. It's a collaborative affair by J.J. Abrams and Doug Dorst. I can't wait. After I listen to your show, I'll open it and begin the adventure. I haven't heard about that book. Have
no,
you?
No, I haven't either.
Oh, good. Well, Steve, you'll have to post on our page again or post on the Vermont Edition Facebook page after you read it and let us know what you think of it. Judy in North Haverhill, New Hampshire, says a new book I would recommend is Wonder of Wonders, A Cultural History of Fiddler on the Roof by Elisa Solomon. It's a fascinating history and cultural study of the beloved musical. Ms. Solomon's writing is brilliant. I'm enjoying the read, and I'm just a casual fiddler fan. This would be a great gift for the theater or fiddler buff. And again, that's called Wonder of Wonders. All right, Claire, you gave us one recommendation. Got another one?
Definitely. I can't not talk about Donna Tartt's new book, which talk about one of the big books for fall. It's been highly anticipated. She writes a book every 10 years and is usually quite successful with them. And her new book is called The Goldfinch. And I loved this book. I cannot say enough good things about it. And I want everybody to read it. It is just beautifully written. It's everything a novel should be. She has beautiful writing style, these rich, wonderfully written characters. There's a great story with interesting little turns and twists in it. It goes from Manhattan to Las Vegas to Amsterdam. There's all kinds of things happening, and it's just one of those books that you can just sink into. It's nice and long. You can just enjoy it and revel in it. Right, every page is great. Right to the very end. So I highly recommend that one.
And are you a Donna Tartt fan? Have you read the other two books that she came out with?
I loved her first book, The Secret History. I wasn't as big a fan of her second book, which I don't think was as well received. But this one is just right back. I feel like this is a book. I don't know Donna Tartt, obviously, but I feel like everything she wanted to accomplish in this book, she accomplished. It's just every page is great.
Oh, sounds well. How can you? I mean, when you get a recommendation like that, how can you not want to read it? Linda, what about you? Another recommendation?
Well, since we're talking about the publishing seasons and big books for fall, I have to talk about Archer Mayer and Three Can Keep a Secret, because I think in the same way that, you know, we expect to have Halloween every year at the end of October, we also expect to have a new novel, a new Joe Gunther novel from Archer Mayer. And he hasn't disappointed us for, I think, 23 years or something like that. So this is another in the series of the Joe Gunther books. And it's, again, it's called Three Can Keep a Secret. And the drama that it revolves around is Irene, the floods of Irene. So it's a really, it's just another great book from Archer Mayer that I always look forward to in the fall.
And this is Tropical Storm Irene, and a lot of it set in the Brattleboro area?
Actually, a lot of it centers around Waterbury and the state complex in Waterbury. So.
Yes. When you guys have books that you've read before the pub date, you know, you get the galleys or you get the advanced reader copy and you read it, who do you talk to about it?
Yeah. We have to talk to other booksellers.
Yeah, we talk to each other.
You do really call each other up?
We have to.
Booksellers.
Or other booksellers in the store.
So, yep. And then do you tell readers, you've got to read this when it comes out, or is that like verboten because they can't buy the book from
you? Definitely do tell them. Try not to tell them too far in advance because that's just mean. But
yeah, it is.
It was 6 months ago, I tell you, you got to read Donna Tartt, but yeah. That's just mean. But we definitely give people a preview of what's coming.
Well, and every once in a while, I kind of, I guess it's not exactly breaking the rules, but with we were talking about Louise Penny and that cliffhanger ending of the novel before this one, mm-hmm. and I had one reader and customer who was so distraught by the end of her last book that I actually in June or whenever it was that I got the advance of this book that just came out, I gave it to her and I said, you cannot tell anybody about this except to say that when this book does come out, they should read it, because I was worried about what was going to happen to her if she had to wait all those extra months for the book to come out. So.
That's very nice of you.
Every
though.
Once in a while I
it
do
was
that.
It charity, really.
It was, yeah.
You realize you've now told everybody in the state that you did this, and suddenly people are going to be coming to the Galaxy Bookstore.
What do you got?
I'd welcome that.
We are talking today about books, and listeners, please share your favorite reads of the season with us, things that you've just read or read recently that you just feel so strongly about that other people have to read them. You can post your thoughts at vpr.net. Just click on Vermont Edition or call 1-800-639-2211. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. We are talking books today, and since it's Halloween, we just can't resist including a few spooky reads. Are you a Stephen King fan? Know a scary movie where the book was even more terrifying? You can give us recommendations for a bone-chilling book to read tonight by the glow of a jack-o'-lantern or not. Call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211 or post at vpr.net/Vermont Edition. You can tell us as well about other favorite books that you've read lately. We're talking with Claire Benedict, co-owner of Bear Pond Books in Montpelier, and Linda Ramsdell, owner of the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick. And let's go to Karen, who's on the line with us from Williston. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jane. And hi, Claire and Linda. I'm so enjoying this show. I'm writing down all these titles. I'm a Donna Tartt fan, too. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're waiting with bated breath.
Okay. You see, now I got to set the scene a little. I'm in my house having done all my errands for the day. My house is built in 1856, and the dear, poor woman who built it was murdered here in 1865, the old Williston murder. So I'm settling in with two of my big favorites. One is The Ghost Stories of Edith Wharton. Maybe a lot of people may not know that Edith Wharton wrote ghost stories, and they're fabulous. They're wonderful. And in about 1983, BBC for Mystery put on a series of, and I managed to get the two-disc set of her ghost stories, and there's one by Elizabeth Bowen in here, and some of them have very famous actors and actresses like Hugh Grant and Miranda Richardson, so there is this really a treat. So if I get tired of reading, I will flip
You'll
in
put them on.
Another retro author, Elizabeth Gaskill, wrote a bunch of wonderful gothic tales, and they're part of the Penguin Classic, so they're also a nice backup for an afternoon and evening like today.
Ooh, Karen, thanks for those recommendations. Really appreciate that. We got a note from Nathan who says, as far as good books for Halloween or for the dark season in general, I would recommend The Gore, Shadow Child, and Guardian Angels by Joseph Citro. They're phenomenally disturbing, quite horrific, and nothing at all like my normal reading material. Citro manages to capture something of the real Vermont, the dark side that so few people seem to see. They'll keep you awake even after you're done reading them, but they're pretty amazing. Chip says, here are a couple of kids' books that are deliciously but not gratuitously scary, even terrifying. Neil Gaiman's Coraline and Philip Pullman's Clockwork. Both books are more than suspenseful and well-crafted enough to satisfy the appetites of readers from fourth or fifth grade on up to adults. And Margot says, Stephen King's The Stand scared the crap out of me. I was reading it over Christmas vacation my first year of law school, and five law students rented a house in South Royalton. Reading it alone at night in the living room with nobody else around, not a good idea. So if you've got a scary book, you can share it with us by going to the Vermont Edition Facebook page or vpr.net. We were talking a little bit before the show. None of the three of us here in the studio are scary book aficionados. Claire, you're not really a reader of scary
not
books.
Not that much, but there is one Vermont author that I like, Jennifer McMahon, who writes good mysteries with there's always some kind of ghostly element in it. These aren't like, you know, terrifying, you can't read it by yourself kind of stories, but they're interesting ghost stories. And she has quite a few. Let's see, Promise Not to Tell and The One I Left Behind. She has a few novels.
Linda, you...
Yeah, I was going to mention Jennifer McMahon, too, and she has another big book coming this spring. And I was also, your reader had commented on Stephen King, and Stephen King has a new book out, just came out last month, that's a sequel or a follow-up to The Shining. And I respect Stephen King so much, and I have never been able to read his books because he's such a good writer. And I'll sit down with one, and I think, okay, this is the one I'm going to read, start to finish. And then I get too freaked out. I have to stop.
So you've actually started them and stopped?
Yeah, I have on many occasions.
Yeah, but, I've been thinking, too, that sequel to The Shining, boy, I'd like to read that, but then I'll have to read The Shining first, and I don't know if I can get through to it. If it's a movie, you can at least close your eyes mm-hmm. or close your ears, and it'll keep going without you. And the book, you have to read that page to get to the next one, and I just, I have a lot of trouble with that.
Sort of on the other end of the spectrum, maybe there's a book, a picture book for kids that I was looking at before I came here called Click Clack Boo, which is by the same team, Doreen Cronin and Betsy Lewin, who wrote Click Clack Moo, Cows That Type. So this is about some animals having a Halloween party in a barn. That's sort of more my speed.
Picture books.
Picture books. Animals having Halloween parties in barns. I can take that.
That's about as scary as you want to go, Linda.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Elena, who's calling in from Jericho. Hi, Elena. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
I just finished reading The White Queen by Philippa Gregory, which was just televised in a miniseries on TV. It was a coincidence that I was reading it at the same time. It's historical fiction, and I don't know if you're familiar with Philippa Gregory, but she does a great job on every setting so that you're almost in the story as you're reading it. When I do read her books, for days I'm walking around, I'm almost like in medieval England. And this is the story of the York family and the Lancaster family and how Henry Tudor comes into reign and all the drama that goes with everything that's going on. Then the story of Elizabeth Woodville, who married Edward, and how, you know, they came into being in the York family. And it actually draws in the history of it in England, which actually now exists, of the area where they met. And it's a very romantic book, but it's very exciting, and there's a lot of drama, and I think people would enjoy reading it.
And that's called The White Queen, Elena?
Yes.
Great. Thanks for the recommendation. Appreciate that. How about hearing from Patricia in Ripton next? Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, Jane. I'm writing down lots of titles. I wanted to recommend a book by an Australian woman named M.L. Stedman. It's called Between Two Oceans, and it's just a marvelous story about a man who comes back from World War I and goes out to maintain a lighthouse off the coast of Australia and only comes back to shore once each season. And one of those seasons, he meets a woman who is brave enough to go out there and live all alone for months and months with no other people. And then an adventure develops when a baby washes up on shore. So it's a marvelous story of wonderful descriptions of oceans and that kind of habitat.
So what part of Australia, Patricia? Which coast? I mean, given that Australia is an island.
It's called Janus Rock, and it's in the southwest area.
Okay. And the book is called Between Two Oceans?
It's called The Light Between Oceans.
The Light Between Oceans. Ooh, sounds wonderful. Thanks for that.
And could I also mention a historical novel of mine that was just published?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. It's called Petra, a novel. And it's based on an American artist from the 19th century who went to the Middle East to travel and also to sort of redeem his love and friendship with people and reestablish his reputation as an artist. He had been an artist who was really one of the most important artists in New York in the mid-19th century, Frederick Edwin Church, and he went to the East to find new ideas for his paintings, as well as to find some forgiveness for a tragedy in his family.
Ooh, and it's called Petra?
A great caravan of people who are traveling with him, a British professor and an English woman married to a Bedouin sheikh, and an American entrepreneur who is rather devious.
And Patricia, what's your last name so people can look it up?
Patricia Gray.
Patricia Gray, and the book is called Petra, a novel. Thank you so much for that recommendation. Congratulations on the book. We got a note from Madrid who says, this year has been an embarrassment of literary riches. I've just read three very different and all fabulous literary novels, The Good Lord Bird by James McBride, The Flamethrowers by Rachel Kushner, and The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. Chris writes in to say, Colm McCann, who wrote Let the Great World Spin, has written a beautiful novel called Transatlantic. It's not only a great story based on historical events, but he's a master of English prose in the great tradition of Irish writers. Pick it up. You will not be disappointed. Linda, I think this was on your list.
Yeah, that's one of my very, very favorite books of the year. And everything that the listener said is really, I just have to amplify because it's such a beautifully written. I had never read Colm McCann before, and he'd certainly been recommended many times to me, but I just hadn't happened to read anything. And this is a really wonderful novel in many ways. And it's really interesting because there are both historic and living characters who make up the characters of the novel.
And again, it's called Transatlantic by Colm McCann.
I think I have to read that soon.
It's really a treat.
Claire, have you read other Colm McCann books?
I haven't, no.
Now, how does that happen?
There's a lot of books, Jane.
I know, I shouldn't be asking. You're going to ask me what I've been reading. But, you know, you think of booksellers like you guys just have to read all the time. And the wonderful part of being a bookseller, you imagine, is that all you do is sit there and read. And that's just not true.
Well, here's the secret. We never read at work. So we don't get to read as much as you think. But, yeah, there's a lot of great books that come by that you mean to read, and they pass you by because then something else great is coming out.
Yeah. So do you have books on your bookshelf or books, you know, by your bedside table? Are you the person who, if we went in, if there was an earthquake,
piles
we might die in your
piles
house?
Next to my bed.
Well, I have a couch that was supposed to be, you know, like a couch that's usually used in the living room for a lot of different people to sit on and maybe the cat, but I've sort of taken it over. I have to periodically sort of move the piles around. It's sort of become an additional bookshelf just because I like to have them that close. I like to have them right at the end of my arm at the farthest.
Why even bother having furniture? You could just make the furniture out of books.
Well, that's an idea too. I might do that.
That'll be next.
We got a note from Anne who says, I just read a wonderful book called Little Princes by Connor Grennan. It's the story of the time he spent in Nepal volunteering at an orphanage and his subsequent founding of a nonprofit called Next Generation Nepal, which works to reunite trafficked and abandoned children with their families. It's a fascinating story. Andrew says, Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie. This is Leckie's first science fiction novel, and it has lit the science fiction community on fire. Featuring some unique and innovative storytelling and gender portrayals, all while proving to be an excellent space opera. Don't miss this one. Andrew says, also on my horizon is an upcoming major fantasy novel by Vermont author Brian Staveley, who lives in Marlborough. It's the first of a trilogy, and it's coming out in January. It looks like it will be a good read for anyone aching for something along the lines of Game of Thrones. And Andrew, I know, always writes in to us saying, don't forget science fiction.
Yeah.
Don't forget science fiction. So he's got good recommendations. You say, Claire,
well,
it's not
don't
your...
Don't ask me about science fiction.
Yeah. So it's a good thing we have people like
yeah,
that.
Have Andrew.
That's
yeah.
why we have Andrew.
Andrew, sorry. Yeah.
Patty Daniels, the Vermont Edition managing producer, says, I devoured Life After Life by Kate Atkinson. Mm-hmm. The story itself is fairly straightforward, but rich in complexity and what-ifs, thanks to the structure she used to tell it. And while we're talking about VPR people, one of our producers, Sage Van Wing, says, I would like to recommend reading any book by Daniel Woodrell for Halloween. Mm. He's the author of Winter's Bone, the book that movie was based on. He writes about life in the Ozarks and poverty in America in a way that is both gripping and terrifying, but rings utterly true. I particularly recommend starting with Tomato Red, the story of a smart young girl who will do anything to get out of her backwater town.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the books that I've read by Daniel Woodrell, too. There was one called the Bayou Trilogy, which was a reprinting of three books that had previously been published separately. And that was, I sort of liken it to, liken his way of writing and his the characters in his books to Howard Frank Mosier writing about the Northeast Kingdom. I think Daniel Woodrell sort of writes about the Bayou of Louisiana in the same way that Howard writes about the Northeast Kingdom.
Mm, sounds great.
Yeah.
Another recommendation from Linda. Linda says, Shadows by Robin McKinley. As an adult who reads young adult fiction, I loved it. The cast includes the narrator who never suspected that she was a witch, a marvelous rescue dog, Mongo, a weird stepfather who casts strange shadows, her best friends from school, a hot new college student with some unusual skills, a multi-talented Maine coon cat, and an algebra book too big for her backpack. It's like nothing I've read recently, and it left me feeling good about the world and, quote, ordinary people. And that's Shadows by Robin McKinley. More books coming up. Please tell us what you've loved and what you're most looking forward to, or share a scary read with us. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We are sharing great reads today. If you have a book that you just devoured and want to share with others, post a quick note with your description of the book on our webpage. Go to vpr.net and click at the top on Vermont Edition. Or you can call us, 1-800-639-2211. Linda Ramsdell from the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick and Claire Benedict at Bear Pond Books in Montpelier are offering their thoughts as well. And let's go to Casey, calling in from Putney. Hi, Casey. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to recommend, well, actually it's a book that I have not read yet, and I'm really excited about reading, which is The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman. And I haven't gotten to it yet because I'm finishing up the Game of Thrones series. So I've got a lot on my plate, a lot of really good literature.
That sounds great. So The Ocean at the End of the Lane, the new Neil Gaiman book. Thank you so much for that, Casey. How about hearing from Daniel in Montpelier? Hi, Daniel. You there, Daniel?
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, actually from Montgomery.
Daniel from Montgomery.
I wanted to recommend kind of a surprise for myself. It's a book actually just put out by my mother-in-law. Her name is Julie Brown. The book is called The Brownstone. I would classify it as sort of teenage love story romance, so that's why it was a bit of a shocker for me.
Shocker, you mean shocker that you liked it?
Because I liked it, exactly. I felt compelled to read it, I guess, and she's my mother-in-law, and found myself really being caught up with the characters. Sort of a love story mixed with mystery. It's the first in a trilogy, and it's her first book that she's published, so very interested in reading the next two. Really leaves you hanging and leaves you interested in the book.
Daniel, thanks for the recommendation. It's called The Brownstone. Thanks for that. We got a note from Jane, not me, who writes in to say, two great fall reads. Elizabeth Gilbert's The Signature of All Things, about a woman botanist who led a truly interesting life in the 19th century, and Jhumpa Lahiri's The Lowland, about two very different brothers. Also just about to start, Thomas Keneally's The Daughters of Mars, about two Australian nurses during World War I, supposedly his best book since Schindler's List. Now, Elizabeth Gilbert and Jhumpa Lahiri, both very well-known authors, mm-hmm. both of those books generating a lot of buzz right now.
Definitely.
Claire?
Yep. And both very good. The Elizabeth Gilbert is really interesting story about pharmaceutical botanists in 1800s, and it has a really strong woman-female protagonist and interesting story.
And Elizabeth Gilbert, of course, wrote Eat, Pray, Love, yep. and then she wrote Committed, which got a lot of criticism because suddenly she was in this committed relationship, which for some reason her readers didn't seem to like very much. And this is a novel.
This is a novel. She's got, and she'd written novels before Eat, Pray, Love, before everybody knew who she was. She was wrote yeah. very good novels, so she's back to that.
Linda, you wanted to make a comment, too.
Well, no, you were asking earlier about all the riches of the book-selling world and what we have to choose from, and I think that's what I meant when I said there are so many highly anticipated and big author, books by big authors coming out, and I tend to read sort of a little more under the radar sometimes because I figure those books are going to get the advertising and attention and critical review, and so I wanted to mention one that I just have started, and I'm a few chapters in, and it's called The Cartographer of No Man's Land, and it's about a young man who goes to World War I, and he thinks he's going to be a cartographer behind enemy lines and stay in London, but he ends up in the fields and in the trenches in France, and he's looking for his brother and trying to stay in touch with his family at home, and I think it's going to be really heartbreaking. It has been so far, but it's really wonderfully written, and it's by a woman. She's a debut novelist, and she's 65. It's her first novel, and it's just really, really well written, and I think the story is going to be really great to read, too.
And remind us the name and the author.
The Cartographer of No Man's Land. I'm going to have to look that up.
<That's>
I don't remember her name.
You can go
Duffy.
To your local bookstore and ask
yes,
the bookseller.
Yes, her last name is Duffy. P.J. Duffy, I think.
We got a note from Rick who says, some great local debuts this year. Stephen Kiernan's fiction debut, The Curiosity, and Nancy Stearns Burkaw's Brain in a Jar, which is nonfiction about her father and Alzheimer's. Rick says, rumor has it that Stearns is giving trick-or-treaters brains this year. It could be true. And actually, we've interviewed both of those authors on Vermont Edition, and both of those books were fascinating reads. We'll try to put a link up to those interviews for people who want to hear them.
Yeah, The Curiosity is a favorite of Diane, who works in the Galaxy Bookshop.
Yeah, The Curiosity, as Rick says, Stephen Kiernan's first novel, first fictional piece of work, and he was touring all around the country with Chris Bojalian this year trying to drum up support.
Yeah.
We got a note from Becky who says, I just read Dave Eggers' new book, The Circle, which gave me a wicked case of the creeps. It's about a Google-like company in the near future and depicts a world in which we've lost all privacy. What's so scary is that the technology that Eggers imagines is so incredibly close to what we already have. And let's go to Mike calling in from Milton. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I would like to recommend the Passage trilogy by Justin Cronin. Actually, only the first two books are out now. It's very much kind of like The Stand, post-apocalyptic. That's a fun word to say.
Yeah, try that one five times fast.
I wouldn't call it scary, but it's definitely nerve-wracking and very, very gripping, for lack of a better term. The passage starts off a little slow, and I had to go back and reread it a couple of times, but somebody was on me to just, like, stay with it, and then once it let loose, it just never stopped.
Ooh, cool. Thanks for that, Mike.
Both of them just jumped right to my top 10 list. So.
Great. Okay, it's called The Passage. Claire,
I definitely found that one scary. I wanted to read it indoors because a lot of the action in it takes place outdoors in trees, and I couldn't hear trees moving or leaves blowing while I was reading that one. So it was a little creepy. It was good, though.
Yeah, that was another one that Sandy in our bookstore really loved that one. Yeah.
And it's called The Passage.
Yes.
Let's hear from Bridget in Burlington. Hi, Bridget.
Hi. I fell in love with Alan Bradley's series, starting with The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie. You guys know that one?
We're getting some nods.
Yep.
Yeah.
you know, I picked it up just, I like to just sort of wander around and pick things up sometimes. And I was a little concerned. The protagonist is, you know, 10 years old. I'm a little bit snobby about my, you know, mystery and detective fiction. I didn't know if I would fall in love with Flavia. But as soon as I started that book, I was hooked. And I was on vacation. I went out on vacation and found a bookstore so that I could buy the next one and then the next one. And yeah. I'm really thrilled to know that they left us with kind of a cliffhanger on the last one. And there's another one coming out in January. I don't know if you've received an advanced copy at the counter.
We'll never tell.
Maybe you want to come find out.
But it takes place in post-World War II England in a small village. It's a family. They've lost the mother, and they're living in sort of a rundown old family estate. And the father is trying to care for Flavia and her two sisters, all of whom are brilliant and precocious. And she gets into a lot of trouble and into a lot of business around town. And the local police become very acquainted with her because she seems to find crime scenes before they do.
And people should start with the sweetness at the bottom of the pie, Bridget?
Yes. And just know that once you start, you won't be able to stop.
Thanks for that recommendation.
She's like Nancy Drew for grown-ups.
Yeah, ooh, that's a good way to put it, I think.
All right, that sounds great. I want to recommend another book that I read this year and really, really liked, and it was a somewhat controversial book, Coolidge by Amity Schlaes.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, this is about Calvin Coolidge. It was a new biography of him. And the New York Times said in a book review that Schlaes has written, quote, a stylistically assured narrative of Coolidge's life that seeks to nudge the reader imperceptibly into sharing his and her views. And it's true, you really do like Calvin Coolidge in this book. But leaving the current politics of the author aside, I've just found it fascinating to get really deep into Coolidge's life, into his early motivations, into what shaped him into the man who became the president. It was a fascinating read, and one that I think is of interest to a lot of Vermonters. Linda, you're nodding?
Yeah, well, I haven't read that particular book, but I sort of felt similarly when I read the book about Ethan Allen,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I thought, oh yeah, you know, I studied Vermont history in sixth grade. I know everything about Ethan Allen. And then, you know, you start reading a 500 or 600 page book and you realize that history and characters go a little richer and deeper than they did in sixth grade. And I think that's
Thank
a really
God.
Rewarding experience. Well, yes, really rewarding experience.
You also, I think, feel a little bit of, you know, pride in yourself for finishing a biography
yes.
of that length
yes.
once you've read it. All right. We've got time for another recommendation from each of you. Linda, why don't you start?
Oh, can we start with Claire?
Yes, let's start with Claire.
A new book that just came recently that I've really enjoyed is called Go, and it's an introduction to graphic design by Chip Kidd. Chip Kidd is a big name in graphic design, which maybe doesn't make him a big name for everybody, but he also designs a lot of book covers, and even if you don't know his name, you are familiar with his book covers, like Jurassic Park or Murakami book covers, and he's just this really interesting, and he really loves sharing his love of graphic design. And so he's written this highly stylized, beautiful book, ostensibly for kids, but I kind of, as an adult, I'm appreciating it as well. And it talks about all different elements of the design process and fonts and color and size. And it's just really fun to look at and read. And so I'd say for older kids or adults.
And what's it called again?
Go, A Kid's Guide to Graphic Design by Chip Kidd.
And Linda, you just couldn't pick among all
that
of
was
the many?
That was exactly it. And so what I finally decided to talk about, just for really briefly, Bad Monkey by Carl Hiaasen, just for That's complete fun. And utter fun. I hadn't read anything by him for quite a while, and it was just pure pleasure and entertainment. Also really well written, and just the monkey is an unforgettable character.
He's a good monkey.
And
he's a bad
very
monkey,
bad,
but he's
very
good
bad.
Monkey.
Yeah.
Well, and for listeners who are book readers and want to know what's coming up on Vermont Edition, we've got a couple of authors coming up. We're going to have a new biography of Norman Rockwell.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that next week. And then later in November, we're going to talk with Ed Baer, whose new book, 50 Foods, delineates the top 50 foods that every kind of culinary person should know about. So we'll have both of those books
and on. And we're going to have a special event with him at the Galaxy Bookshop and Claire's Restaurant coming up in November. So stay tuned for that.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's Linda Ramsdell, the owner of the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick. Linda, nice to talk with you again.
Thank you, Jane.
And Claire Benedict, co-owner of Bear Pond Books in Montpelier. If you go to the bookstore today, she will be dressed up for Halloween, I hear. Claire, nice to talk with you.
Thanks, Jane. It's been fun.
Now, tomorrow on the program, Bob Kinzel will be in the studio with Governor Peter Shumlin. Let's get a sense from Bob now of what they'll be focused on.
Jane, we're going to get the latest update from the governor about the operations of the state's new health care exchange, Vermont Health Connect, and if the governor is considering putting a contingency plan in place if the exchange is not fully operational in several weeks.
That discussion is live at noon tomorrow, and you can share your questions for Governor Shumlin by writing to vermontedition@vpr.net. Our program is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Singeri, and Sage Van Wing, with production assistance from Tim Johnson. Mary Williams directed the show, and our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. I'm Jane Lindholm. Happy Halloween!